Good morning. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you all being here. Just a couple of, announcements before I get into my message. First, we're hoping to do a film viewing here at church, hopefully in September. And this is a documentary called The Calling from Heaven. And it stars our very own Ricky back there. You could do better than that. Come on, what's going on here? You guys, what's going on? Just sitting back there, guys. Anyways, thank you. But Ricky, he's is a gifted artist. And there's a documentary made about this gifting and calling. And so we're hopefully going to show that sometime in September. There's more information on this flyer, and the flyers in the back end. Ginny could direct you to those if you go and see her. I also want to welcome Dennis and Judy. They're back from Tokyo. They're the pastor of Tokyo Baptist Church. Yeah. They're here for the summer. They'll be going back, I believe, sometime in September. But hopefully, before they leave, we could have Pastor Dennis come up here and give us a message. And we'll try to work that out. How's everyone doing? I'll try to be brief today since we have our very wonderful potluck. But before we do that, let me pray. Father, we thank you so much again for today, for your grace, your mercy, your love, your patience, your faithfulness, your providence, your goodness. Your love endures forever. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified, magnified, your name would be lifted up on high. That you, Lord, would be pleased with the worship we bring to you. We ask your Holy Spirit would come, fill this place, fill our hearts, fill our minds, give us revelation through your word, Lord. Jesus, we ask for a greater measure of your presence and a greater awareness of your presence. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Today's message is about the rebuilding of the temple and laying the foundation of the temple. And before I get into today's message, I just want to share what immediately comes to mind when I think of God's temple. When I think of God's temple, a lot of New Testament passages come to mind, personally. The very famous cry that Jesus gave after turning over tables and money changers says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer," but he had made it into a den of robbers. For those of us who are familiar with this passage, realize that Jesus draws from both Isaiah and Jeremiah's prophecy. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Jeremiah says, you have made this into a den of robbers. And so when I think of the temple of God, immediately this comes to mind. It should be a place of prayer. But it can easily become a place of commerce. And we need to constantly check our own hearts, motives, our own thought process, rationality, that we do not make this anything less than what Jesus Christ wants it to be. I also think of Paul's letter to the Corinthians saying, we are individually the temple of the Holy Spirit. That if we become a believer, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, and that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Peter draws on the image of the temple saying, we are living stones being built into a spiritual house. Jesus being the chief cornerstone. These are just some of the thoughts that comes to mind when I think of the temple. And so the temple, as we go into the Old Testament and look at the great rebuilding of the temple, as Christians today, we're not looking to rebuild the temple. For those of you who may know, the temple currently is not present in Jerusalem. The temple is not there. But as believers, our mission isn't to rebuild the temple. Our purpose is to be the temple. Thank you. At least, yes, amen. Should I say that again so we get a bigger amen? That's a good cue to say amen. Our mission is to be the temple of God.
Amen.
Oh, yes. All right. But getting into today's passage, in Ezra, it says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, took their place to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. Last week, we looked at the importance of building the altar. The first thing they did, Israel did, when they came out of Babylon into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, the first thing they did was rebuild the altar. And the altar was a place of sacrifice where the supernatural and the natural can intersect. And of course, today we know the ultimate sacrifice and the only way we can get to God is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He is the altar. The cross should be the symbol of our altar. But after that, they begin to lay the foundation. And the next step of rebuilding this temple was to build the physical foundation of the temple. But if you notice, there was also priests and Levites positioning themselves, which I believe is the spiritual foundation in our lives. What did they position themselves to do? I just want to give a side note about the physical building. There will one day be a physical building that we worship in, a temple. I believe that. But it will not be made by human sinful hands. And so today we focus not on a physical building, but building this temple ourselves as a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. We focus on the spiritual building. And I want to take a look at the spiritual building, the spiritual foundation, even in the Old Testament. It says, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. Prior to David, a large portion of worship was simply sacrifice. And that still should be a large portion of worship, but it was simply sacrifice. Though people may have sang and danced, what was prescribed by Moses was sacrifice. David comes along. He became king. And David wanted to build a house for the Lord. But the Lord said, David, no, there's blood on your hands. You are a warrior. I don't want you to be the one to build the house. But a house will be built and it'll be by your son. So David built a huge tabernacle for the Ark of the Covenant, and he began to employ tens and hundreds of worshipers who would worship day and night. Can you imagine that? Their only job was to either pray or praise. People interceded, people sang before the Lord. It was not just sacrifice anymore. It became a place of intimate worship. If you're wondering, this type of worship is also seen in the book of Revelation. There was a man named John. In his 90s, he had a vision of heaven. And in his vision of heaven, he saw myriads of people and angels surrounding the throne of God, worshiping, singing. Here, I don't know if David caught a glimpse of heaven and imitated what he saw in heaven and placed that as the order of worship, or if David began to do that in heaven, said, hey, I like that idea, let's do that in heaven. I don't know how that happened. I'm sure it was probably from heaven to earth. But it's interesting how what David did reflected what was happening in heaven. Now I have to ask a question for us. What is your foundation? What have you based your life on? Where do you place your hope? Foundation is such an important piece to a building. And it's an important piece in our own spiritual life. Where is your foundation? Does it look like the foundation of this temple? Worship, praise, prayer. Remember, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Verse 11, it says, with praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. There are many places in the Bible which quotes these exact words. His love endures forever. And whether they were a creation of a psalmist, such as David, or if they were part of a liturgical worship book, is unknown. What is interesting is Jeremiah prophesied that the people would go into exile, but he also prophesied that they would one day come back to this desolate place and say these exact words, that his love endures forever. God's love endures forever. Notice the words that are being sung. He is good and his love endures forever. Certainly Israel is placed in this version, but he is good and his love endures forever. What does that mean for us today? That means life may not always be good. Man, can I get an amen there? Is your life really that good? Wow, okay, just me, okay. Preaching to myself. Life may not always be good, but he is good. His goodness never changes. Amen. Don't ever get that twisted. That when life is bad, it's not because we serve a bad God. But even when life gets tough and life is bad, remember that he is good. And his love for you and me, for Israel, for each and every one of us, endures forever. Amen. That's a song they sang. And I believe that's a song God was pleased with. Or else it would not be repeated over and over in Scripture. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Again, the foundation of a building is incredibly important. One of the reasons why that is so is because if you make a mistake in the foundation, the mistake in the foundation will only get worse as you go up and build it. The mistake multiplies. If it's in the foundation a little bit, it will multiply the higher you build, the more you build. The foundation is also the place where everything sits on. Where is that place that everything sits on in your life? Is your foundation worship, praise, and prayer? Is your foundation worship, praise, and prayer? You know how good that looks like? I want us to be honest today. Is that my foundation? Is my foundation a place of worship of God? Praising God. Praying to God. There was a time where we were in this huge, not huge, but we were in this retreat. And in this retreat, we were singing. And you know, it was like one of the last days of the retreat. And if you've ever been to a retreat, the last day is always really fun. People are just fired up for God. And I just remember getting lost and caught up in singing. And I started dancing. You won't catch me dancing a lot, you know, but I was dancing. For the Lord, of course. And I had my eyes closed because I knew the song, and I like to sing with my eyes closed if I know the song. The song ended, and I opened my eyes, and I noticed someone was watching me, and I was kind of got embarrassed. But going back to David, who prescribed worship, one of the things he's known for is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back from the enemies. And when he brought it back, and when they finally got into Jerusalem, he began a dance, a wild dance, where his clothes even started flying off. Now, it wasn't that kind of dance. It was just, you know, it was just really probably erratic and just jumping for joy kind of thing. And he said, "I will become even more undignified than this." Have you ever become so undignified because you were happy? And was that for the Lord, or was that for something else? When was the last time you hoot and hollered just because you were so happy? The best place to do that kind of thing is in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Always rejoice in the Lord. If we could find our place to be a place of losing our minds with joy because of the Lord, that is a firm foundation. That is where the Lord wants us to build our lives. Because that foundation will never be shaken. It will never be shaken. You know, and imagine how the Lord feels when we have that kind of attitude and that kind of lifestyle. I could just, you know, vaguely glimpse what the Lord might feel. As you may know, I got a new dog. And if you want to know, meet her, she's in the back with my wife. Her name is Winnie. And, you know, me and Winnie, we're tight. We're like peas and carrots. Two peas in a pod, if you will. But the thing I love about Winnie, and my wife loves about Winnie, is whenever we come in, we come back home from either going shopping, we don't even have to be gone that long, she gets so excited. She starts running around and, you know, she greets us at the door. She even gives me kisses. I love that about Winnie. And, you know, if she does that kind of stuff, it's hard for me to get mad at her. And it's easy for me to, like, pour out all of my love back to her. But imagine that us giving that kind of devotion, that kind of worship and praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. Do you think there will be a change? Sure, God's love never changes. And you know, when Winnie acts bad, my love for her doesn't change. But certainly there's something different when she's just so joyful to see me. Is that our attitude when it comes to the Lord. And it's not just a Sunday thing. Sure, it would be great to come Sundays with expectation, praise, thanksgiving, prayer. I'm not saying we don't need that. Certainly, this is probably a good place to practice and a good place to exercise that. But this should be a daily thing, a night and day thing, as it was when David prescribed it. Moving on, it said, when they shouted, many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. This should have been a joyful occasion, in my opinion. However, many of the older people wept aloud, and perhaps sorrow, because the foundation indicated that this temple wouldn't be as grand as the temple that Solomon built. Now, the younger generation had nothing to compare this foundation with. And they were just glad that there was a temple being built. They've heard stories of the temple, and finally, prophecies is coming to fulfillment. And it says, although nobody could distinguish the two shouts at the moment, it eventually came out, right? Because how else would we know that some people weren't shouting for joy unless it began to come out? That not everyone was shouting for joy. And whether it was okay for the older generation to weep aloud is uncertain. However, I believe that this perhaps was the beginning of ungodly discontent. There was an attitude shift. We came all the way from Babylon. And you got to understand, the older people are probably in past their 70s. They traveled about 5 months. They sacrificed everything. They laid the foundation, and they realized the foundation is nothing compared to what it was. And they said, we left everything for this. I think there was discontent there. But I don't think it was a godly discontent. Because in this case, I believe that the size of the foundation doesn't matter. Didn't matter. They should have been joyful. We finally are beginning to rebuild the house of the Lord. I just want to say one thing. I believe our attitude when it comes to worship matters. And that Jesus weighs the heart of a person. Not just talent, effectiveness, and giftedness. Not those things, I believe, are important. But when Jesus weighs things, I believe He also weighs motives, attitude. And this shout was heard far and away. And it'd be interesting, from this point on, there would be such an opposition against the rebuilding of the temple. And I believe it started from within. The opposition started from within. And as we hear today, I don't know where you are with your own temple of the Holy Spirit, bringing New Testament theology into this. I don't know where we are in terms of building the temple for the Lord. Again, it's not a physical building, but a spiritual one. But where is our attitude today? Is there praise and thanksgiving? Is it worship and gladness? Is it, you are good, God. Your love endures forever. Is it excitement and expectation? Or is it become a chore and a burden? I'm not pointing fingers. Don't worry, I'm talking to the person next to you. But some of us today, worship has become a chore and a burden. Even in my own life, sometimes it becomes a chore and a burden. How many times are we going to sing the song? Oh, the song is off. Oh, I played the wrong chord. I have to say that as we look at Ezra's account of rebuilding the temple, and we take a look at our own lives, so important. It is so important to evaluate where we are in building this temple that the Lord's hand is building. Are we allowing God to mold us and shape us to be a person of worship, praise, and prayer? My house shall be called a house of prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised and worshiped. You alone deserve all of our adoration. Father, I pray that we would be people that gets lost in your love. That are hooting and hollering. That our expressions of joy would be in you, that we would rejoice in you, Lord, rejoice in you always. And that we would be a place of worship, praise, and prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.